Dropout Podcasts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tales from the Closet. Hell yeah. I liked that. I'm Allie Beardsley, your host. This morning I woke up and it was a slow morning for me. I'm here with three lovely guests. A little bit about me. It is episode 17. This podcast, I felt very proud this morning. I stepped out of bed and immediately onto my laptop, which was on the ground. And I was thinking about this podcast because I'm so excited to meet these three people. is this a good top? Who knows? TBD. It just feels like just the other day we started this, and already we're 17 eps in. So thank you to everyone who has talked to me, who has reached out in DMs, people who have submitted questions. For those of you who don't know, we have an anonymous survey online that you can submit any question you want. If you are in the closet, it's completely anonymous, so have no fear. But yeah, we'll get to those questions later. First off, let's meet our gorgeous panel today. Who are you? How do you identify? What do you like? Mm-hmm. What's something you've made that you're proud of?
Should I start?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Hi, I'm Bully Faye Collins, and I don't really mind any pronouns, but people usually say he and him. And what was the last thing?
What have you made that you're proud of?
I make performance, and I made a show called Polite Notions with Shandy that I think was really good.
That's amazing. Wait, when was that?
I toured with it in the wintertime.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so fun. Polite Notions with Shandy?
Polite Notions with Shandy.
Shandy. Oh my God, I love that. Okay. Well, thank you. Hi. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the program. I decided I'm going to switch and start calling this a program. Viewer-supported program. Anyway. Hi, who are you?
Hi, thanks for having me on the program. I'm Sammy Cohen. I identify as she, her.
Cool.
And what was the next one? What have I made that,
yeah,
I'm
that
proud
you're proud of?
I mean, I've made a lot of things here at College Humor that I'm really proud of.
Ooh.
I wrote a parody to a Lizzo song called Dogs this week.
Yes.
That I'm pretty proud of.
Great.
Cool. Sounds like something Lizzo would approve of.
Yeah.
I honestly hope that I make her proud.
I really hope to get on her radar.
Really, really. This is going to just...
Yeah. Awesome. And lastly...
Hi, I'm Reese Ernst, and I use he, him pronouns. And I identify as a Libra, and... I guess an Angelino for the time being, and other things. And I'm proud of this new movie I just made called Adam that's coming out in theaters. I think actually by the time this comes out, this podcast is airing, I think it'll be almost in theaters.
Ow!
So please check it out.
Cool. Friends. I'm very excited to see Adam. I'm hoping to see it this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much, all three of you, for being on the show. Three total sweeties.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah. No problem, Bully. So polite. We start off with, so how did you come out of the closet? What did that look like for the three of you individually? Yeah, we're going to start with you.
Okay, we're going to start with me. It happened really rapidly by accident for me. And I was 15, so it was pretty early compared to a lot of people, mm-hmm. I think. My mom asked me, which was great, because my aunt had been telling her I was gay since I was 2.
Wow.
Which, of course, most people were like, that's so fucked up. What are you talking about? This person is 2 years old. Also, it was a very open door policy for me in the closet, just like constantly shouting from inside, you know?
Yeah.
And like opening windows all the time.
Uh-huh. Peeking out.
Yeah, being like, I'm in here. Yeah. I'm in here. Are you ready for me? I'm waiting. And like, anyway, so my mom asked me because I started going to those like GSA meetings mm-hmm. at high school. Mm-hmm. And she went and picked me up once and then just like looked around and was like, all these people are faggots. Like, and then I think she kind of like panicked. And then so in the car on the way home, she was like, oh, like, are you gay?
Was it panicked? It was like that?
She was really nervous. Wow. Yeah, she was very nervous. And then I was like, yeah. because I was like in this, with my mom, I was less scared because she was just not as scary as my dad.
Oh, yeah.
Who was like just somebody I didn't really understand yet. Mm. Because I was like such a femme kid. Like now we're really good friends, but I feel like that was the person who I was like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh,
you know?
Is your dad like pretty mask, I guess?
Yeah, for sure.
Binary.
Yeah. Now he's changed a lot. You know, like you get older and your estrogen levels.
Oh,
jump.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
And then he's like also become really religious. So he's like, he's really like zen about it. Like everything has just become a little bit more fluid for him. Mm-hmm. But the way I came out to him was fucked up because it was a total accident because I just wanted to show him this like scary photo I took on the bus of a baby doll in the window. And it was on my MySpace profile. So I was like, I'll just show it to him on my MySpace profile. It says I'm gay.
Yeah,
in
you
the
had,
middle of
on
my
MySpace, you
MySpace
had listed
profile.
Your orientation.
Yes, and it just says I'm gay. Right next to the photo that I was showing him, being like, look at this cool photo I took, Dad.
Oh,
isn't this
my
cool?
God.
And he's like, what is that? And I remember this like Deerhoof song was playing in the background that I had that just like automatically played when I opened up the page.
Oh my God.
And still to this day, when I hear that Deerhoof song, it like brings me back to that moment.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Do you think he thought of it? Because you know, like a lot of parents are like, well, if you left your journal out, you wanted me to read it. Or you know what I mean? They kind of like read intention into this. Do you think he was like, that was Bully coming out to me?
I wonder. We've never really discussed that. You know, like he's... We've actually never talked about that moment, which is really crazy.
That's so funny.
Because I feel like I don't like having conversations with my parents about gay stuff. Not because it's... Just because, you know, like, it always comes down to the same thing of them, like, reassuring me that they love me. Because they're, like, very Christian people who live in a very hetero, like, free market Christianity world. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they know that I feel really alienated there.
Yeah, but that's
and I appreciate
still...
that they reassure me. It's lovely. Mm-hmm. But I'm also, like, you know, we don't have to dwell.
I have the same thing. It is pretty othering when someone has to like really double down on telling you that they love you because mm-hmm. it's like why would you even have to say, you know what I mean? It's like someone saying like, I'm not gonna read your diary when you go take a shower, and you're like, why did you even say like why, now you've put that thought into my head, when they're like, we really do love you, and it's like very like in spite of.
Yeah, and I get it, like they're I really don't even, it's like I don't, there's other things that are way more othering to me. Like they can say that to me as much as they want. It's just that those, the things that they don't have as much language for that I feel like I'm on another level. I'm just like, I try and be like a listener and then speak in a way that they can hear me.
Okay.
Because I just don't need them. I'm like, you guys lived your own lives. I don't need you to completely understand me and like where I come from, because mm-hmm. there's just like no way that you can because of the life that you've had.
Yeah, that's a really positive outlook on it.
Yeah.
Like you have like meeting grounds and you're like, that's fine.
Yeah. Like, it's still works. Hard. Like I still speak my mind. I don't like let them make me feel like shit about stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's still a level of like humility for me where I'm like, you can't know about like trans politics and like other all kinds of stuff that like gender fluidity and mm-hmm. what it is really like to be a homosexual.
Yeah.
And about like gay sex, like, you know, they ask a lot of what would be considered very ignorant questions, mm-hmm. but like from a place of sincerity.
Yeah, sincere and, ignorance, which is a different yeah. kind of ignorance, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, it's not like offensive, like, so which one of you is the girl? Like, yeah. tell me.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, but they have asked that question.
Here we go.
Yeah. Starting it off strong.
Starting off strong. No, yeah, I fully identify with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
My parents are both really religious. So talking to them is, it's so sweet. There's still like a really sweetness and obviously a lot of love there. But sometimes you're like, here we go.
Yeah, totally.
Here we go. My dad was like, there's a girl in a lot of photos with you lately. That's like the most of a like direct conversation we can have. And I'm like, ooh. Yeah. And he always picks like the wrong person. It's like never someone I'm actually dating. I'm like, yeah, that's my coworker.
Oh, yeah. You're like, that's my therapist.
That's my therapist. I'm always yeah. taking photos with my therapist. Have you guys ever taken a photo with your therapist?
I wish.
No.
Me neither. Sammy, how did you come out?
So late in my life.
Ooh.
What's funny is not in high school did I come out, but when I was in high school, I sat my sister down to kind of have a serious conversation with her, and everyone else knew or was on to that I was gay way before I came out.
Interesting.
And I'd never had like crushes on anyone. I sat one of my sisters down. I was like, I gotta talk to you about something. And it was no big deal, nothing super serious. I started talking to her and she went, oh, I thought you were going to tell me you were gay. And I was like, oh, and panicked. No. And then cut to, I don't know, 10 years later. And when I came out, I first came out to two of my closest friends who I felt really safe with, mm-hmm. who I lived with at the time. And I had been in a straight relationship. I was still. Anyway, I came out to them, and they congratulated me like I had won the lottery.
Yes!
And it was just so, and then it gave me a lot of confidence to go out into the world and end a relationship I was in,
mm-hmm.
a straight relationship. And then I came out to my family all individually, mm-hmm. really casually. And I think I sort of like blacked out for a month while I was kind of like, okay, I just want to do this.
Yeah, just a dissociation month where you're like, kind of through it. Okay. Yeah.
And I think a part of me, yeah, they all assumed, because when I did come out, I like called my mom, and she works, and I'm from LA, and she works here, and I'll sometimes just stop by and say hi. And I was like, hey, are you at the office? And she was, and I was like, I'm gonna come by and say hi. And I popped in. I was there for like 5 minutes. I sat down. She's like, hey, she calls me Boo. Everything okay? I was like, yeah. I think I want to talk to you about something. I think I am not straight and I like women. And I knew, but it was just my like ease into it.
Oh, definitely. It's always like, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Always.
A soft coming out.
And then she said, and then she pointed out, for years I've been like, well, everyone's a little gay. I was softly kind of setting them up. we're all gay. Everyone's a little gay. And so I came out to her just at work. And her reaction, like my sister's, like I'd say 90% of my friends and family, they were like, that makes sense. Or, oh, yeah, we figured.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, great.
Wow.
See you later. Does it?
That's great.
And then it was more, more in-depth conversations. But I think I was just anticipating a lot more confusion and so many things that everyone was real at first, real chill about it. And my dad passed away, so I never got to tell him.
Oh,
which is kind of, and that I wonder, I don't know how he would have taken it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and that's led to some interesting conversations with my family. I don't think he would have been, I think he would have been fine, but way more difficult.
Oof,
he's like conservative police officer, not the, well,
my dad's in law enforcement too.
It's a type of mentality.
Oh, man.
It's a conditioning.
It's a conditioning, for sure. But yeah, that was kind of it. And then,
that's really nice that it was so chill. We talk a lot on this podcast about how nice it would be to just be able to walk into the kitchen where your parents are and be like, oh, by the way, I'm gay. And they're like, oh, okay, cool, noted. And it's like not a deal. You know, like the fact that it's a deal makes it, it's just so unfair. So that sounds truly lovely.
Yeah, it really was not. I think there was like more in-depth the person I was dating at the time was the hardest one.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
That was the hardest one. And came with like, on my end, I felt so guilty and felt so bad for, I think like months, a year, like almost a year after. But yeah, luckily most people were real chill about it.
That's great. Were you able to talk to the person and be like, I'm gay? Or was it like, were you not quite sure yet? Or
I was sure. I was sure for such a long time. I think my guilt, I was sure for a year. I mean, I've known for, I've known since I had that conversation with my sister in high school. And I wasn't telling her then, but I've known for so long and I had crushes on my friends in middle school.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did tell the guy that I'd been in a very long-term relationship with.
That he was a beard.
Yep.
Yeah.
He said, I have a beard, but what's a beard?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was very sweet, but definitely took it the hardest.
Yeah,
understandably so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's so confusing because it's like there is love there.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different kinds of love.
Yeah. Well, we were best friends, and he interpreted it one way, and I felt really safe in that relationship.
Totally, yeah.
Because I was so scared of, I think a lot of things that I didn't need to be, but they feel scary no matter what.
Yes, it's like, it's harrowing in the closet. Mm-hmm. You're truly just like on a razor's edge for like years of your life.
Totally.
Yeah, I came out later also. But I, when I dated like a cis dude in college, we broke up, but I was too afraid to like tell him why. And I was just like, I'm not attracted to you. And that's why we broke up. And that's like way worse. That's like so brutal to be, I'm just not attracted to you or any cis man, you know? So it's like, oh, interesting. Like that like would have.
It's come to my attention that you're hideous.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Because you disgust like, me so thoroughly.
Kind of what
I can
I
no
was
longer
saying.
Continue.
All of the sudden, I'm not attracted to you. Yeah, so I'm just, I look back on that and I'm like, interesting. I probably should have been 100 times more honest than I was in that moment. But
have you ever had a conversation with him since? Or was it just...
Yeah, well, so we had one super strange conversation like a year later that was like 15 minutes long and I still didn't come out. But it sounded like he knew because we had a lot of mutual friends. So I think someone told him. But yeah, I was just like, I don't know. When you're in like the church, I was in like a very religious school where you like literally sign a contract to go there saying you won't have sex or do drugs or have like a gay thought. You like sign literally a contract, like with a quill,
and, in your blood.
And it also like the Harry Potter thing, it like carves it into your flesh as you write it.
I have like a dark mark, but yeah. So I think just everything was so like upside down there. It was like I wasn't about to come out to him because I was just deep in the closet. The closet was multiple rooms long. yeah, Reese, what about you?
Well, I think there was a multiple room closet for me too. There's sort of a gauntlet of, you know, those kind of folding closet doors and the other kind of closet doors. So if I go back to when I was three, so I'm trans and I came out a couple times in a couple different ways. I think in a way I sort of came out when I was three, although that didn't really, it wasn't really officially, but like, I was like, oh, I'm a guy 100%. And then this was the '80s. And so being like a trans kid wasn't really a thing that it is now, but actually looking back on my youth and childhood, it's like I was trans Urkel, like fully, just like 100%. And like flip sunglasses, rat tail bowl cut, you know, plastic fedora. Like I was full on like trans Urkel as a kid. And weirdly, people were kind of like, well, I got bullied, but it was kind of later. Like, it was actually kind of fine, weirdly, in my school. I don't know what was going on. It was, like, a bizarre, like...
Where were you?
This was in near, like, Pomona, outside of L.A.
Oh, no way. I'm
yeah.
from the Empire.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I was there till I was 10, then I moved to North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
And then things got a little bit rockier, right around, like, puberty, too.
Yeah, which is, so perfect time.
Yes.
Same for me. We moved right when puberty hit, and right after I bought an entire Flames-themed wardrobe.
Nice.
Everything I bought had Flames on it. I switched schools, and boom, I was in it.
That was
I had a bowl cut and a Flames-themed wardrobe, and I was dead trans. And
were you
no
also
one
a freshman at an art school?
No, I was a closeted teen in Temecula.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, we should have had, like, a photo shoot
I would have
at the time.
Loved that,
yeah, it looked really slick. But then when I was like 13, I had a sort of very like my so-called lifestyle argument with my mom, and I was like, no, that's not gonna happen because I'm not straight. And so there was like that kind of thing. And so yeah, I was actually kind of out as queer when I was 13, which was interesting.
Wow.
I was in middle school, and also kind of weird, and kind of the only one. And that actually dropped out of high school because of bullying and stuff like
no
that.
No way.
I did.
Wait, can I ask where in North Carolina?
I was in Chapel Hill, which is actually kind of a progressive town. But this is North Carolina in the 90s, though, and it was still, like, it was actually really old school. It was old school homophobic back in the 90s, for sure. Like,
yeah.
It just was.
Have you ever read the book, Dude, You're a Fag?
No.
It is so good.
Really?
It is this book... it's kind of like a psychology. They go in and study a school that matches the demographics of all the high schools, the median high school in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
And it's so like socioeconomically, like race, everything. And they interview all the kids on like gender and sexuality.
Oh,
and it is an insane read.
In the 90s.
The 90s.
I would love to.
What's
it called again?
It's Dude, You're a Fag.
I gotta read that.
It's on PDF, like online, but it's really good. And reading that is like, that's what happened to
me.
And a lot of stuff I had suppressed. I was like, oh, that definitely happened to me, and I don't even consider that part of my story.
Totally. No, it was rough. It was weird. But then what happened? Oh, and then I finally, so speaking of being a late bloomer, I didn't transition until I was like 25. So in a way, you know what I mean? So there was another coming out. So it was kind of like, God damn it, we're doing this again and again and again. but it was okay. So my parents are actually, I'm very lucky. My parents have been very cool. I keep on pushing them into like new challenges.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly,
like over and over.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, we're old pros at this now. And they have, you know, really like, I actually think I totally believe to that, like that thing that children are here to teach our parents. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like,
you get the children you need.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, totally.
I totally think so. And we're really close and stuff. And I mean, when I came out as trans when I was 25, which I mean, I was trans Urkel, so it wasn't really like a total shock, but also taking the steps was like, but, you know, a little bit. And I really felt like it was my, you know, responsibility to kind of walk like my parents through it and really have long conversations with and like make them talk about it actually. Because I was like, look, it's taken me a really long time to deal with this myself and figure it out and be comfortable. So I can only imagine it would take somebody else some time too.
Beautiful.
And that's okay.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a really great way of thinking
and,
of it.
You know, I remember like my mom was like, well, I have to like tell my hairdresser that we used a different pronoun, and that's like she had to kind of come out in her own way, and like it was hard, you know. I totally respect that was actually a legit journey, you know.
Yeah.
And now my folks and family are like very well. My my nuclear family is very like, you know, they're like out and proud allies. It's very sweet.
Yes.
So it's been a real road.
Yeah.
I think I'm done coming out. I mean. I've been like LGBT anti seriously, so like
it's
I'm like
a rise from the Dante's Inferno back to the surface.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, all yeah. seven
like
layers.
Like a rainbow phoenix. Yeah. Oh, God, that's a terrible image. but, yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same. I feel like I'm from a very, like, deluxe closet. Like, a very expensive, like, rotating, multi-roomed closet.
Oh, so seductive.
Mm-hmm. Like a hot sex swing closet. No, but I do, every 5 years, I have something new to tell my mom that will... gut her.
Yeah.
And she's same thing, like rolling with the punches. And now I think she also has like a really inspiring, cute pride about it and like talks about it whenever she can with like her friends, which is cute. She like considers it, she's still very religious, like that's her awesome, ministry though. To like talk to other like Christians about this, and which I love because it's kind of like, you know, my mom rocking the boat at church, you know, it's just like adorable.
That's awesome.
And cool. But yeah, what did it feel like to come out as trans? What was that like journey like?
That was the hard one for some reason.
Yeah.
God, it took me forever too. I mean, not really. I mean, I was like in college, people were like, you're trans. It's kind of like your aunt's a little bit, but the college version, the college years version of that. And I was like, oh yeah, maybe. But I was sort of, I was pretty nervy about it for a long time.
What kind of college did you go to?
I went to a liberal arts college, cool. like Hampshire College in Massachusetts.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty,
cool.
pretty out there and cool in those mm-hmm. in these ways. I would say there was a lot of like, oh, let's talk about gender and transness and queer and blah 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 happening at that time, and I'm sure still there. So it was around. I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's, you know what? It's called old school shame. Really,
yeah,
for real, it is.
Fully.
It was like it was stuck. I feel like, well, obviously the world around me, but also I got it from TV too. I remember like the first, because I was like trans Urkel child, and my parents were like, yeah, okay, you're a tomboy. We don't really care. They didn't really care.
Totally.
Because they didn't read it as trans. They were just like, whatever. And then I saw this talk show, one of those bad like 90s talk shows
yes.
in the 90s, and they had a trans man on there, and they just were like, oh my God, it was the most. It was like so rough. It was so
Ooh,
sad, so rough. And I like, and just this poor man, and he just was being like, just, you know, interrogated to like nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And makes me so upset just think about
yeah.
it, honestly. But I like saw, I was about 9 and I saw that and I was like, oh shit, that's me.
You it's know? Crazy that that's all it takes too.
Yeah.
It's like some popular media that's celebrated on like a big scale, and then you're like, oh, this is the
yeah.
lens that everyone mm-hmm. sees through.
Well, there's such mm-hmm. a like vacuum there because there's like mm-hmm. no information about trans people,
mm-hmm.
so then when you get one visual
mm-hmm.
you're like, boom, that took yep. up the entire space.
Yeah,
I remember realizing like, so trans women would cause like anger or like fear in people, but then like trans men were like ridiculed. It was kind of like
mm-hmm.
oh, you mm-hmm. know, like dick envy or whatever, kind of like
mm.
oh, look at this fucking like fake man or whatever, like on stuff like that growing up, and I was just like, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And it just sets you back
that's
millennia.
Yeah.
You know. But it's beautiful to think of now. I guess there really hasn't been like, when I think of like Will and Grace or Modern Family, it's like
mm-hmm.
cool, all mm-hmm. of America gets the gay thing, or you know what I mean, has like some positive association with gay culture, but there hasn't really been something like that for trans people yet, of like a sitcom with like a trans main character, I guess.
Well,
Billions, what are we thinking?
It's like Transparent.
Definitely Transparent. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I worked on for 4 seasons.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
I was
fun.
A producer. Yeah.
Oh, that
yeah,
is
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, definitely
yeah.
Transparent.
Yeah, yeah.
I know my mom is obsessed with that.
I show. Mean, although, of course, in retro, you know, in hindsight, there was, you know, whatever. We don't have to go down that road. It was not perfect in certain respects, although when that happened, there was nothing. There was zero, you know. It
yes.
was
mm-hmm.
like throwing something into the void.
Absolutely.
I mean, there was Laverne on Orange is the New Black. There was
mm-hmm.
a couple things that all started around the same time.
Yes.
But before that year, there was nothing.
You know what I'm kind of thinking, though, is of like a squeaky clean kind of like ABC
yeah.
Family
like
show, like
comedy.
God, I want a Trojan horse, like
yeah.
a lovable trans couple into like an ABC Family show.
I know, it's true. We do need that.
Truly, one day.
There's, I mean, there's Pose now, which
right.
Yeah,
but that, yeah.
gorgeous.
But something like, Will and Grace that I think reaches...
Wow.
Reaches the center the of our lovely country.
Yeah.
Well, it's... I think it does give... It's interesting because the more we see it and the more comfortable... I was a huge tomboy. Mm-hmm. My mom, it terrified my mom when I was younger.
Wow.
She pierced my ears so that people would know I was a girl.
Eww, there we go.
And like was real scared of, so loving and supportive of me, but was, I remember I was 7, 8. But she was just afraid of the world and what people would, because like you getting that lens into, like seeing that on TV and how the world's gonna react. Yeah. That was, I think,
yeah,
and I think
the
like
protective parent.
Oh yeah, and that generation, like, you know, I think less so with us, but still, and I think it's so important to,
totally
to spread a different message and to be more receptive, because people have this fear that's just,
it's hard for sure when like your parents think that they're saving you, but you're like, really what would save me is being allowed to be like who I am, you know, like whether that's hard or not. But it is true. I mean, it sounds like bullying was a nightmare for you.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have it as bad as a lot of people, but certainly it just, you know, was a part, it was part of the package. Yeah. They came well. But I do think that, like, you know, I'm a director and I work in media and have created a lot of things that have to do with transness and representation, and trying to actually specifically do crossover stuff, you know, that's sort of in a little Trojan horse, a little funny, like, in a genre or something, so it's actually reaching beyond the choir and kind of like splitting this thing open a little bit because of experiences like the one I, you know, just mentioned.
Totally. Yeah. It's kind of like when you get through the fire, you kind of look back and try to yank people out quicker, you know? is a violent image I just painted for everyone. We do. I mean, with this podcast, we definitely have a lot of people who have reached out and been like, I am in the closet. It's so great to listen to this. So I bet it's nice for people to see this media that you're creating and feel seen and feel like some hope for the future. Well, this is perfect because we're already talking about it. But our haunted word of today is... late bloomer. Usually these sound effects go to
wait, did I spoiler the haunted word?
No, it doesn't matter.
I was teased it up. Teed it up.
You were teasing it up.
I was teasing it up.
Like my hair.
Yeah.
But, give me Winehouse look.
Yeah, I was teasing
for
my hair.
For a downward spiral.
We haven't talked about this. For those of you not watching, Reese has been teasing his hair this entire
been.
Episode.
True. It's getting bigger and bigger.
late bloomer. What do you think? What does that word make you think of? Those words. And do you identify as one? We already heard from you. Sammy.
Entirely so. I think about coming out late, knowing for so long, being so scared.
Do you feel like regret for it? Do you understand why it happened? What's going on?
I think I've like let myself feel the regret. I definitely feel like I wish I had just loved myself a little bit more earlier on in my life to be able to, and not, yeah, to have not been as scared and to just love myself a little bit more.
Totally.
Because I didn't come out until I was 26.
Yeah.
I think it was 26. And had really just, I just felt, yeah, a lot of shame like during that process because I knew for so long, and then once I did, guilt about not doing it sooner. I also like understood it, but I feel like I was living through a filter, so I don't think I was doing anything truthful for myself until so late in life, and I was like, well, now I feel good being me. But I just felt frozen for a long time.
Totally. Yes, that's exactly how I would explain it too. It feels so like expansive when you come out and you're like, this is what life feels like? Like, holy shit.
Yeah, I was curious what you guys felt about, because I feel like I came out pretty young, but then the way that I don't feel like I actually got to be gay until much later because of my situation.
Yeah.
Because you're just totally isolated in this world of, ooh, like being the only gay person.
Yes. Oh, that's so interesting.
And that was kind of what it felt like for me, was just like, then you're just, you're either a token or a clown.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
And
yeah,
those are also kind of the same token.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The clown can be a token.
Same token.
Can the token be a clown?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then I didn't even really have any gay friends until I was like maybe 19. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't even like the best kind of situation. It was like, once you really meet your people and then you're like, oh my God, this took so long, mm-hmm, to like finally feel like I'm finding a groove with other queer people.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And that was, yeah, that was kind of like a really turbulent
field. Was that like a moving
field
to a big city kind of thing? Do you think that's what helped with it?
Yeah, definitely that. And yeah, I don't know. Like, there's also just a lot of fear, regardless of whether you're out or not, or at least there was for me, when it came to gay relationships and like sex and dating. Like, I just had a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. And I had no, because I didn't have any mentors, or I didn't know any other people who were going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. I just had no models.
Yeah.
So definitely. Then I would see people that I didn't know, and like, you know, you don't really know how to start, and you don't really know, like, yeah, you don't really know what to do.
Totally,
or
yeah,
you feel ignorant. And also for me, that made me kind of defensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, the images that we get, or like the messages that we get, are so wild. Like,
yeah,
when I first came out, I went straight to like the Abbey. Like, I went to like club culture, because yeah, I was like, I'm gay now, this is what it looks like. And it yeah, was just like the most isolated I've ever felt in my life. Just like sitting there with a beer alone in like a booming club, being like, and this is life now, you know? It's like, ah!
Right. Yeah.
So
totally.
Yeah, when you don't, yeah, it's so nice when you finally meet like sweet political queers, or like, you know, people who speak your language and are, mm-hmm, like having a movie night, or, you know, just like these, yeah, like pure sides of the coin. I mean, there's totally, like going out too, if that's like your thing, but finding out that there's like room for everything.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I didn't have any good relationships with other, like, sexual relationships. I have always had really deep, loving relationships with people that I'm like platonic with. And they're mostly cis women. Mm. So it's like this, also I'm like, that probably has something to do with some fear that's still lingering.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
You know, like, the closet is still hovering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The closet scars are still healing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like totally, that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so interesting that you say that, because I think, well, like, the thing about it being really isolating to be the only gay person for all those years. Because in my mind, I'm like, if I had just come out, like, it would have been so great. But it's like, no, I still would have been in Temecula at a mega church as the only gay person, with people like quietly praying for me.
Totally.
Nightmare.
And it gives you this perspective of, like, I had this, like, fuck every single person that, you know, like, for a long time, you, like, that was my way of dealing with it, was just being like goth and fuck everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Yeah, you went super anti, you had your anti yeah, tour.
Yeah, big time.
Uh-huh. It's, I think about high school too, because I have that regret of like, if I had the same thing that you were saying, I wish I had, like, if only I'd just come out, it would have been so much better and easier. But the one person I knew that had come out in high school, because there's always like one, or I mean, so many of us, I think, are, and a lot of my closest friends in high school later in life, were a lot of us are gay.
Yeah, same here.
Funny enough.
Yeah.
And we found each other, but we were still so scared to tell each other. We dated each other straight, you
yeah,
know. But the two people that were openly out in high school, there's definitely bullying, but it's like you're under a microscope because you are the one
person. Yeah, you're the whole test population.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So I feel like everything they did was under, and that was, I wanted to hide. So that's a terrifying.
Yeah, I felt like people who were closeted, now that I'm older, I look back and I'm like, people who were closeted were probably like, yikes, you know.
To you.
Like, to me, yeah. I thought about that because of the, like, visibility that they saw.
We have a lot of questions like that that come in from viewers that are like wondering why their aversion to gay stuff is so strong, because they think that it will out them against their will if they show like a like for that.
Which I get, like it's not a thing that I'm like,
no, but having to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
I made a series called This Is Me that's like a web series of short documentaries on trans people, and there's one of them I'm not trying to plug it because it's an old project. I mean, watch it if you like. I mean, it's not my main plug. but it came out a couple years ago, but it reminds me of what we're talking about, because there's one episode called the series is called This Is Me, and the episode's called And My Sisters, and it's a documentary, and it's these three trans women who I know IRL, and they're sitting around talking about what it means to be seen as quote unquote like clockable, or and the old school thing of like when you were a trans person, say you're a trans person back in the day, you see another trans person, you ignore the other one because they can out you by association.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like a safety thing, but then at the same time, by the same token, it led to people not being able to find community, have friendships, just being invisible and of course there's a thing about survival in certain like contexts, but it is something that's like really important to like unpick and look at. And the episode actually ends up with them talking about how they're pushing against that idea and like forging these sisterhoods and being, you know what I mean?
That's great.
So that's online if people want to watch it.
That's great. I love Rex in this show. This is perfect. I feel that sometimes, I feel like early on, the first like trans men that I like were, I would be like, have the biggest friend crush on someone. And
Squish?
Yeah, I would have the biggest squish. I'd be squishing on someone so hard.
I just get an image of like a wet sponge being like...
And no one wanted to hang out with me because I was just like dumping a wet sponge on their head at the mall. But I definitely felt like a strong arm bar sometimes where it would just be like, oh, okay, dude, like... then I guess we won't be friends. But I do wonder if there was
something like that. That's a sad face, though. That's a sad face.
Yeah.
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 That's a bummer.
Okay, cool. Well, let's move on to the best part of the show, in my humble opinion. These are questions submitted by viewers. Some of them say their name and pronouns. Some are anonymous. So I'll just let you guys know when that comes up. Okay, our first question. Can you talk a bit about crushing when you're in the closet? Handling a crush on a straight person, coping with rejection and the threat of rejection, etc.
Yeah.
Did you ever...
I have a playlist called
No More Straight Girls, so I will...
Does it have like 7-year bitch on it and stuff like that?
It's just me like... Yeah,
totally. L7. Wargasm. I remember I joined lots of things and did lots of things that I was not interested in just to follow my straight friends around that I had crushes on. And I don't regret any of it.
What are we talking? We talking track and field.
I did lots of video games, Boy Scouts, rowing, you know, like crew.
No.
I did crew for like 2 years just because of this boy.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Who I was best friends with.
Homoerotic crew.
So it was also... Crew is incredible.
Erotic.
It's
erotic.
Deeply erotic.
You're
it's
just like, both like, really like
and you're in those like leotards.
What?
You're in leotards, girl.
You're kidding me.
Mm-mm.
They have little shorts.
And there's like the varsity team who are just these like demigods of fitness.
That's crazy. Honestly, what were they doing to us with these like uniforms? Like volleyball is just like hot little shorts.
Yeah.
That's not okay. Like when I was so deep in the closet, I would just go to a volleyball game and be like, this is too much for my body. Like every cell is like multiplying.
Totally. You're like, this is malignant.
Did you ever confess a love to a...
No, I was like pretty sure, because I feel like I started hooking up with, or started like sexually experimenting with boys when I was really young. So like usually if there was some kind of chemistry happening, there was like both sides were like, do you want to play a game?
Yeah.
Like there was like something like that happening. It'd be like truth or dare.
Yeah.
You know? And then you'd be like, take off your pants and like rub peanut butter all over your chest. You know? I dare you.
What a red herring. That peanut butter was not going to be used. Or was it? We have so much talk about that on this podcast. Just everyone hooking up at such a young age, literally except for me. It's always such a like slap in the face. I'm like, I did kiss someone once.
We even sometimes would call it like practice for adulthood.
We
would refer to it as like as if playing house or something. But anyway, like in when I got older, it was like that wasn't happening. That kind of tacit understanding of like secrecy and volleying the, you know, like the risk. Just like wasn't even in the game, like, you know, being in the same sleeping bag with this boy that I had a crush on and like we're just having a conversation and I'm like waiting for the cue for it to happen, for like that moment when we're both like, so what should we do now, you know? And it just never came.
That is so cute to imagine two boys in a sleeping bag and one is like, this is the night.
Can you imagine? For hours we used to do that and it was absolute torture.
It's like the school I went to was just so unbelievably religious that like the idea that people might be gay wasn't even on the table.
Yeah.
So it was like gender segregated dorms and like you like go like swimming naked in the ocean your first night as like a welcome back. And it was just like, and everyone was like dogpiling naked on the beach. And I was like, is no one like aware? Like, I am so gay.
Yeah. Also, it's really interesting that that stuff can't be viewed through the lens of eroticism for those people either. Like, as soon as anyone's like, even though it is, even though it's platonic, it's still deeply erotic in like a powerful, unifying way that doesn't have to be like penetrative and like patriarchal in that way where like this is sex.
Yeah.
You know? Well, but I'm like, that's like part of the ritualistic nature of it. Is that it's kind of homoerotic.
A lot of religious stuff is deeply erotic. You're like praying over each other and like touching and like, you know.
Yeah. It's like that energy, that good, good energy.
It's that good energy.
Yeah.
Any weigh-ins on a crush? On a straight person?
I don't have a humorous personal anecdote, unfortunately. But so I have this movie coming out called Adam, and it's actually kind of that scenario. So I thought I would just mention what that's about a little bit, because it's that, but flipped upside down, backwards and inside out. And it's about a 17-year-old dorky teenage boy who lives with his parents and then goes to live with his cool older lesbian sister for a summer in New York City in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, his name's Adam, and he's like following his cool sister around, going to all these like lesbian parties, and he doesn't really know what anything is and is kind of like clueless. And then he meets this amazing person, this girl, and he has this deep crush on her. And then a little later into their conversation, after they're totally hitting off and she's about to leave, she's like, okay, so here's my number, but just so you know, I've never dated a trans guy before. And he's like, what? But doesn't totally know what that means, because he's totally like a 17-year-old dork, cis boy, right? And then she leaves, and he's like, oh, wait, and then it's too late to correct her, and he's caught in this lie that she thinks he's trans. And it, so it's like, it's kind of like the trans experience of what, you know what I mean? These stories that we think of, like a trans person in a small town who has a crush on somebody, and they think that they're not trans.
Exactly. Yeah, totally.
It's that, but flipped.
It's like Boys Don't Cry, but fun.
Yeah, yeah.
gutting, you know?
Yeah, maybe not exactly, but But yeah, so Adam's kind of like, he's got a crush on this person, and he's trapped in his own closet, ironically.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And the whole world is queer and trans around him. So that is a scenario that we explore in the new movie.
That is Adam. So fun. That's really cool.
Sounds really good.
Yeah, in like a little oasis. Like,
yeah,
majority, I mean, except for in this like tiny little subculture.
If you call Bushwick in 2006 an oasis,
and but, I do,
yeah, I do.
Oh man,
it's actually, sorry to interject again.
No,
it is like a really interesting political inversion that I feel like needs to happen in so many, on so many levels in our country in general right now. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm excited to see it actually.
Yeah.
Like just left to right, yeah. actually this way of like, there's a lot, especially living in like a city when, you know, I feel like I definitely live in a queer bubble. Imagining a religious Southern person coming and being in my world is like a really interesting, funny thing to see that we don't think about as like them being this other trapped in our reality.
Yeah.
That I think is really like makes a lot of, it's really humbling.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's really fun too, because if you're going to invert the story, it proves that the story is already mass, you know, like everyone already understands it. So I think that's a really fun step for transmedia. It's like, it's invert, yo, it's like, you're we're there, baby, you know?
That's a good point. Yeah, it's kind of funny because it's like, you know, the audience is totally ahead of the characters because everybody had just a totally different level of transliteracy at that time and was sort of stumbling their way through all this stuff.
Totally. Oh, six, man.
And Oh, I was thinking too, like about how it's like, well, I really like how it's like really plays with who's insider and who's the outsider and really kind of breaks those rules and questions, all that. And because I'll talk about outsider audiences, meaning straight people, you know what I mean? And I'm like, whoa, my head's going, you know.
Yeah, totally. But,
and then even like, well, never mind. I was going to talk about current. I was going to bring up some dark current politics.
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, I even was thinking about the other day about how like, I was like, you know, it's like, Adam is like, what is the word I was going to use? He's like the minority of this world, right? But he's not threatened by that, which is actually, it's interesting if you look at what's happening in culture right now. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, Adam actually leans, he makes some mistakes, don't get me wrong. Like, it's about him making mistakes and then learning from it. But he actually leans into it, like, really learns, like really respects this community and is, like, totally changed by it in this really positive, profound way.
Cool.
That's so great.
And I really think about that in terms of what's going on right now politically. You know what I mean?
That's sets such a good example, which is very rare.
Totally.
I feel like even the narratives we have that are good and radical are so often like Boys Don't Cry, where it's like this disaster, where there's like
tragedy.
This tragedy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like kind of tired of seeing gay tragedies.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just like the disaster of being gay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's
It's
like that is a story to be told, and it has been. So let's say what else happens when you're trans or not trans.
I want to see a world in which it's cool to be queer and trans.
Yeah.
And like, a 17-year-old straight boy is like, wait, hey guys, wait, how do I do that? What's going on?
I just wish I was trans.
Yeah, totally.
That's cool.
Oh, God. All right, our next question. Let me see. Hi, Allie and friends. My name is Adriana, she, her, and I'm bi. I just graduated college and plan on becoming a physician assistant. I was wondering if any of you had any thoughts on how healthcare providers can offer a safe and healthy space for all genders and sexualities. It makes me so sad to hear about people avoiding getting the care that they need because they've had bad experiences or they fear being judged. I want to be able to offer that space for people. Also, I love this podcast. It made me feel great about being bi with mostly straight friends. Heart.
Yeah. Mm. Cool.
We probably all have fucked up stories about doctors and things doctors have said to us, I'm sure.
Yes, definitely. Although, recently I've been going in for Kaiser. I don't know if I can say their name, whatever. But they've had me in on like non-binary panels where I talk to all the doctors and it's like a Q&A. It's literally been the most beautiful experience. I went in.
Oh my God.
First, it was with like the psych department, and it's all of SoCal. So it's like people are there for like this long ass like training seminar.
Like a auditorium?
No, smaller, but still like hundreds.
Right, that's crazy.
Yeah. And then they get to like ask all the questions and be like kind of bashful and like, how do you this? And then just last week, I went in for like endocrinology because like so many kids are transitioning young. And they like had so many questions for me, which I couldn't answer because I'm like, I wasn't even like at seven. Boy, do I wish I could have skipped puberty, but like, no, I didn't. So that's been really cool. Like,
that's amazing.
A few hospitals like truly trying to like get to that literacy point.
just how to navigate conversations and how to like yes. give care in a way that's more caring.
And to like meet someone and be able to like ask questions without it being kind of like everything's on the line. Like asking the wrong question to a patient, I could see being really scary. Mm-hmm. So they were like brought me in as like the guinea pig essentially because I was like, ask whatever.
Yeah, especially if they're nice. Really young too. Sometimes, like I'm being a nanny. Told you guys earlier that nanny, but I'm a nanny.
Yeah, Bully the Nanny.
Nanny. It's not the name that I used at when I worked in public school. But the kid that I watch is gender nonconforming and is very defiant about gender. It's very like, you know, whenever there's a question of like, what are you from kids or adults? It's very like,
love
you know,
it.
Like,
cool. Whoa, good. The future.
You know, yeah.
That makes me giddy.
They're like, I don't care. Well,
you know? Love it.
But even with them, it's kind of like, he's not asking the questions that deeply yet, but also they've gone through a lot of counseling about it because there has been a lot of pushback from the community. It's really good that in LA there's resources that are trans specific.
Yes.
Where people are like way ahead of the kid because he also doesn't really have the kind of know-how or language right. for even what he's feeling.
Yeah.
So it's kind of amazing that for the parents and for him that like this doctor is like, I know exactly how to hold space for you.
Yeah. It was really mm-hmm. shocking. Like a lot of the endocrinologists were like older and were like, yeah, so I have a family who their daughter started transitioning. She doesn't need hormones yet, but is now like dressing in women's clothes and, you know, like just being a little girl now. But they had to take her out of her school because like the school wasn't understanding and then just start her in a new school. Like, here's your new life. And she's like 4 or 5 and she's like getting like chronic stomach aches and they think it's from anxiety from like that whole.
Oh yeah.
And everyone was just like, oh, you know, it's just like everyone in the room was like on the same page, which I like loved. But that's, I think it's really interesting that transitioning is happening way younger and I think it's good.
I think,
obviously.
Yeah. I don't know. I think my advice for that question too about going into medicine is, I think it's such an area of expertise and you want your doctor to be confident in the medicine and the care that they're giving. But I actually think in this specific regard, being humble mm-hmm. is a really good way of going about caring. Like, know your stuff medically, but I think being like leveling with someone and just being humble and not knowing and wanting to learn from patients,
totally.
Like kind of like, because I think what you're doing is beautiful and amazing and should like needs to be done.
Yeah.
But that would be my advice. Like if you're going to, yeah, especially, you know, I think nurses have, are taught to care for people. And sometimes with the PAs and doctors, it's much more about, you know, the medicine and the science. So I think just, yeah, keeping that in mind and caring for people is probably what I would.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, like you can know everything about medicine and stuff, but if you know, the culture is changing, so to be like humble enough to look at all of that is really interesting. I also think a lot of questions came up in these two panels that I've done where like kind of the attitude towards trans or non-binary people was like, it's never enough. You know, like it was like, oh, we got one person's pronouns wrong and she was really mad. And it's like, well, let's pump the brakes on, you know, it's like this person is, it's getting it from all angles. It would be very nice if a place of like healing and health was kind of like an oasis for them to feel like safe. And literally like all you have to do is like put a note on the file of like pronouns, you know, like just have that become like second nature would be cool.
I appreciate the question, though. I feel like we need more people like this. So we applaud you, listener.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Thank you.
Adriana, thank you. Okay, let's see. I am from a very homophobic culture where people casually say very hurtful and offensive things. How did you learn to stand up for a part of yourself that you felt the need to hide for most of your life?
I had trouble hiding. So I feel like...
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really identify with, like, Quentin Crisp. Like, somebody who was like, there was never a closet.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, he's like... He's like, I became really loud about it because there was never really any other... Yeah, there was never really any other option.
Yeah.
And... But also... It doesn't make it less scary. Yeah. Also, like, you don't want to put yourself at risk. Like, I understand people who don't. I feel like if your life is in danger, or if you feel like you could get hurt, it makes sense to try and find the best way to survive. But if it's about social obligation, personally, I'm like, if you're not living authentically, you get sick in other ways.
Yeah, that's so, really interesting.
Like, you're kind mm-hmm. of playing with fire regardless. Mm-hmm. Like, one choice is not really better than the other at the end of the day. And if you have the choice, and it truly is your choice, if you, like, check in with yourself and you're like, I could speak up and it would be hard and I might get some flack and might be social consequences, but I would survive and I wouldn't be physically harmed, then you should absolutely do it for that reason, that otherwise you're kind of diminishing something that is always going to follow you, and you're kind of in the process training yourself to always feel submissive in that way to the people who don't accept you.
Mm, yeah, that's you know? Great. Yeah. And I'm curious about, like, what it's hard to find your place in, like, kind of like history, I guess. I think, like, reading like queer experience or you know, like, just books that have to deal with queer people coming out or, like, knowing your queer history can sometimes help push you to feel like, if you're thinking in your own mind and you're like, someone would make fun of me, yeah. or, you know, whatever your yeah, worst fear totally. Is getting perspective and seeing
yeah
like
look up Marsha P.
through.
Johnson. Yeah.
Who's that?
Oh, she's the person who's famous for throwing the brick at Stonewall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
And she's also yeah. just an amazing person in general. Like, her middle initial stands for Pay It No Mind.
Wow. Cool.
Which is, like, to me, it's so good.
Oh, like, that's so good.
I love that as a philosophy for life.
Yes.
And it's also something that you should think about when you're asking this question.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just, like, pay it no mind and speak your truth. Yeah. You know?
Beautiful. I have I made a trans history web series. Sorry, I'm like plugging all these things.
No, wait, it's so nice to have you.
But these are all free. I'm not, well, Adam is going to be in theaters, but the other ones are free online. So totally. I'm like, check it out. Like, what do you got to lose?
Yeah.
But it's a series called, because actually for me too, I was like, what is trans history? I don't know anything. Like, there's just a vacuum. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, it turns out it wasn't totally a coincidence that stuff was sort of suppressed and, you know what I mean, not recorded.
Interesting, yeah.
But yeah, I was really interested in trans history to understand my own, you know, sort of trans patrilineage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I made this series called We've Been Around, and it's WeBeenAroundSeries.com.
Cool.
But there's one on Marsha and Sylvia called Star, and they're about 5 minutes long each.
Oh my God.
And they're all these incredible stories, and it's like truly... Every struggle that we're going through has happened in the past. It's like, it's actually amazing.
That is incredible. Wow.
It's crazy.
Grace,
it's actually
what
crazy.
A great resource you are.
Well, thank you.
Great resource.
Oh.
And that's all the time we have today.
Which is your drag name.
No, but that's so beautiful. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
That actually is all the time we have. Looking down at the clock, honey.
It did fly by.
It really, didn't I say? Mm-hmm. God, I love this show. Well, you know what? Thank you so much for listening, those of you at home. If you have a question for us, please send it in. We'd love to hear from you. You can do it through the Instagram, our Discord, or an anonymous survey link that we will put up very shortly. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everyone. Bye.
This has been a Dropout podcast. For video of today's show, plus more exclusive series, go to dropout.tv.